been very stressful times during the pandemic for so many of us, trying to deal with the demands of childcare and kids adjusting to doing distance learning, working from home and figuring out all the challenges that that entails. For others, it was being furloughed or laid off and the financial consequences of that in family life, stressors in relationships with partners and spouses, spending considerably more time together, often in confined spaces, trying to work simultaneously and deal with parenting. So many stresses that are part of the pandemic. But I want to ask you right now to share things that worked for you that helped you deal with those stressors, with the anxiety, with the pressures, with the setbacks that you've experienced over the course of the pandemic. I'd also like to hear from you if you are dealing with anxiety right now about the scheduled reopening of California on June 15th. Just anecdotally, I've talked with a number of people who say they're really not ready for it. They don't want to be out in a world with people that are unmasked. They don't want to be going into places where there's higher density of shoppers or people going to the movies or whatever it is. If you're dealing with that anxiety about the changes that we're going to be seeing in about 3 weeks, I'd like to hear from you right now. We're at 866-893-KPECC. Your experiences can be instructive, helpful for others, and you share what's helped you through this. And if right now you're dealing with an emotional challenge about the big changes that are coming June 15th, or maybe even the changes that have already occurred, I'd like you to join us now at 866-893-KPECC or the Air Talk page, kpecc.org. Joining me is Denise Williams, who's a licensed marriage and family therapist at WellPlay Social Wellness Center. Also with us is Miguel Gallardo, who's professor of psychology at Pepperdine University and also has a clinical practice as a licensed psychologist. Professor Gallardo, let me start with you, sir. For yourself, have you uncovered particularly effective ways at helping with any anxiety or stress you might have had during this pandemic year?
Yeah. Thanks, Larry. I appreciate the invitation. Good question. I think that's a $64,000 question at this point that we're all asking in many ways. And you know what I have done, and I think what I've told other people to do is to really stay focused on what I have control over, what we have control over. And I think the what's been so challenging and what's created so much, I think, anxiety and angst around, you know, just even through the pandemic and now as we're transitioning and opening back up again, is I think the inconsistencies, the unknowns, sometimes contradictory information that we receive. And so I think we just have to, you know, and whatever the situation is, we just have to kind of think about, okay, where do I have control in this moment in time based on what's happening? And let me try to focus and spend my energy there. So, you know, whatever it may be, even if it's just something very small or something, you know, a little bit bigger, I think it's important that we just try to stay focused on what we can actually control in our lives, because there's a lot that we, you know, we can at this moment in time. And so if we stay focused there, our anxiety can increase and it can feel quite overwhelming. So I try to stay focused on what I can control. I've been getting out a little bit more, trying to exercise a little bit more, trying to do some self-care as I can and in what ways seem feasible. And I think those things have been helpful for me.
One of the things I find for myself, and it's easy because I'm doing it every day on our program, talking with a medical professional about COVID-19, is trying to, as much as I can, you know, stay grounded in the information as we know it in the time. But that's challenging. And for many of our listeners, it's been difficult, I think, for many of them to turn off the fear response that COVID-19 has generated. You know, it doesn't just go away on its own when you hear you've got a 95% effective vaccine, and that if you're fully vaccinated, your odds of contracting serious or deadly COVID is nil. There still is that sort of fear perception that's there. And I wonder, Denise Williams, if you have any thoughts about how to sort of rein that in or cope with that hyper-vigilant response that I think a lot of people are dealing with?
thanks, Larry, for having me on the show as well. Appreciate it. One of the things I'm in agreement is that you have to stay focused. And I talk about a lot of mindfulness, right? So when those scary feelings or thoughts come up, you're hearing all the statistics, you're hearing information from the doctors, but yet you know that there's still this possibility, and so you become hypervigilant. I really encourage my patients, my clients that I work with, is to stay mindful, stay grounded, and work with the moment. Where are you in this moment? How would that impact you in this moment? Do you have to go out of the house today? No. Then let's not focus on it today. Let's just stay in today. And so really, I've been talking to people about getting through this day by day. When they do have to go out, I ask them, what can they control? You have on your mask, you have the things that you need to, you know, your hand sanitizer, your cleaner, and what are good times to go when there's less traffic, things like that. So things that they, again, that they can focus on, that they have some, you know, control over, and then really working on the cognition also is like the thoughts, the negative thoughts, the critical self-talk and talking back to that and silencing that critical voice that comes up that makes us so anxious.
We're talking with licensed marriage family therapist Denise Williams, as well as Pepperdine University professor Miguel Gallardo. I welcome your questions about advice from our mental health professionals about how to cope with the anxiety or fears of COVID-19 as we reopen the economy. And that's not to say you have to be forced to go out in crowds, not to say that you have to go out where there are people that are unmasked, because, of course, that's your choice. But certainly you don't want to be fearful all the time about the world in which we live. So if you have questions for our mental health professionals on how to navigate that, we're at 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Carl in View Park in Southwest Los Angeles says, I have anxiety and depression, which predated COVID. I've used this time to attend to those issues through therapy, doing yoga and breath work, and hanging out with my son in nature. Carl, that sounds great. And Carl, I'm very glad to hear you talk about nature, because Professor Gallardo, I think that that's something a lot of people have turned to try and help with their stress management.
About it. I think earlier on, there was so much confusion around, like, can I go out? Is it safe to go out? And what does all this look like? And I think throughout the entire pandemic, you know, the one thing that I think has been fairly consistent is that, you know, the recommendations from state, local, national have always said, you know, get out. You got to get out and you have to go connect with nature, you know, go on walks, whatever it may be, a hike. Obviously, I think, you know, taking into consideration, you know, being mindful of where you are and how close you are to people, all those kinds of things. But absolutely. And there's research that really, you know, demonstrates and has for quite some time now, the relationship between, you know, being connected to, you know, Mother Earth, nature, if you will, and our sort of sense of well-being and feeling grounded. And so there's something really powerful in there. And I just want to say, Larry, too, that, you know, what that last listener just wrote in terms of what he's doing, you know, there's been a lot of research that's been coming out along the way. And what we've known is that, you know, if there was already something there, you know, before the pandemic that someone was dealing with and trying to negotiate from a psychological perspective or a mental health perspective, it kind of got escalated in some ways during the pandemic. And then for folks who, you know, maybe weren't dealing with a whole lot or it really wasn't that salient for them, they're also feeling something. So I think, you know, one of the, I think, positives that has come out of this process, if I could say that there have been some positives, is that I think the focus on taking care of one's mental health and wellness has moved up the ladder a little bit and has become a little bit more central and priority for a lot of people. And we want to encourage that, because I think as we transition out of this, it's going to also take us continuing to be mindful of how we're taking care of ourselves, our whole selves, not just the physical, but also the psychological and emotional.
Well, and speaking of the whole selves, Ms. Williams, I wanted to ask you about the body work that's a part of the therapy at Well Place Social Wellness Center in West Los Angeles, because you have massage and all kinds of different modalities. So can you speak a bit to the benefits of that, along with mindfulness or cognitive behavioral therapy or group discussion? How does the body part of this help?
Well, yes, because what happens is often, you know, there's what we think and then there's what the body perceives. And so many times we're moving. We come from a society that's a go, 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 go. We've been taught that multitasking is a great thing. And so many of us have gotten out of our bodies. Many of us are not connected to our bodies. We're just thinking, going, doing. But it's so imperative to slow down, breathe, and recognize what's going on in the body, what's happening to the nervous system. We forget that when the nervous system is activated, right, that brings on various symptoms in itself. So we want to slow down and we want to get people back into their body and back grounded, right, in their body, whether that's through yoga, whether that's through breathing exercises, just plenty of different, you know, modalities, whether it's energy work, all of those different things help us to stop and ground ourselves and then check in with our body, taking care of our nervous system, which really controls so much of our responses in times like this. The old brain gets activated and we're scared. And so then that kind of takes over sometimes, and even our just our regular everyday executive function gets overridden. So that's why it's so crucial to stop and check in with the body.
We're talking with Denise Williams, who is a marriage and family therapist at Well Place Social Wellness Center in West Los Angeles, and Pepperdine University psychology professor Miguel Gallardo, who also sees clients in a private psychology practice. We'll continue with them. We're going to talk with Kelsey in San Pedro. We have comment from Dawn in San Marino, and I'd like to hear from you. What's been helpful during the pandemic to help you deal with the stress, the anxiety, and the fears that have come with the pandemic? And now as we transition to a June 15th full reopening of California, if you're feeling anxiety and fears about that, share them with us now, because we have two mental health professionals who'd be glad to offer their expertise and their guidance to help you through this time. 866-893-5722. We'll be back in 1 minute. Good to have you with us on Air Talk. Coming up a little bit later this hour, women in the craft brewing business, a male-dominated industry, that's no surprise. But there are many women who are making significant contributions to the craft of brewing. And historically, women played a huge role in developing craft beers and ales. We're going to talk about that history, as well as what life is like for women who are in the craft brewing business. That's coming up a little bit later this hour. Right now, our focus is on dealing with the anxiety, the stress, and the fears that surround the pandemic, and that now surround, for many of our listeners, the reopening of larger crowds, of unvaccinated people not being required to mask, and people getting back into the workplace, all of which can be, you know, for some people, a tremendous relief and excitement with it, but for other people, a real stressor. We're at 866-893-KPECC. Dawn in San Marino says, exercise has been it for me. As a classroom teacher and a parent, I've learned that by being able to do daily walks, running, as well as outdoor CrossFit has been very helpful to me. Dawn, thank you. And I know for classroom teachers, this has been a tremendously challenging time. Kelsey in San Pedro, good to have you with us. Please share with us how the pandemic has affected your mental health.
Oh my gosh, I get anxious even thinking about it. Thank you so much for discussing this. We, after a year of going through, you know, communally traumatic event together, the difference between June 14th and June 15th is really And like you said, I get anxious just talking about it. But what I've started to do, and I'm not a very religious person, is just cling to the serenity prayer. You ask me, the universe, to grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And then I plan on continuing the mask even after the mandates are gone and maintaining a safe social distance. But I'm fully vaccinated, but in my head, still tells me I can be part of, one of that, part of the 5% that can contract COVID, even though I've gotten both, shots of the vaccine. But I, it's been a whirlwind of a year, and I'm sure not everyone. A lot of people have suffered mental health wise, but my anxiety is through the roof with being sick.
Yeah, Kelsey, hold that thought, please, because you have well encapsulated, I think, what many listeners are going through. And you say your anxiety is still through the roof, and there's the fear, even though you're fully vaccinated, what if you're a breakthrough case? I mean, of course, the important thing, just in terms of if that happens, we're not seeing severe COVID cases. The rare deaths that we've seen for fully vaccinated are people who have been immunocompromised. And so the vaccine perhaps didn't provide the robust level of protection it's providing the overwhelming majority of people who've taken the vaccines. But your anxiety is such that, so many people are experiencing that. Denise Williams, marriage and family therapist, what advice do you have to help Kelsey?
I think that one of the things that's super important as we go through and we process this is what is it that you need for yourself, right? What do you need for yourself? And thinking about what things can you do to take care of yourself. So what does that look like? Do you like to exercise? Do you like to be out in nature? Those type of things to help you begin to bring down your anxiety. Be careful with the rhetoric that you're listening to. And I say rhetoric, I should be careful with that. But just the things that you're listening to, the news, the social media, those type of things to help with not, getting so caught up into all the things that the different things that people are saying, because that increases our anxiety as well.
I'm so glad you brought up the news consumption, because I know people who have become consumed with reading stories about COVID and every sort of there's this dire clickbait, which I think gets very addictive for people who click on it and then see, every little possible concern. And I think news sites have gotten wise to this and are in many cases escalating people's fears to try and get that click. Professor Gallardo, do you think in some cases it makes sense, particularly now as the pandemic is waning, for people to start disengaging from that kind of media?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I have recommended that throughout this entire pandemic. It's really interesting because I think what a lot of people will do to try to ease their anxiety and try to get some relief is actually try to get more information. I think what we've seen happen, though, is that information has varied. It's been, I think, inconsistent at times, contradictory at times. And so I have said this whole pandemic, really limit the amount of information you're consuming. I mean, we're just information consumers just in general. But I think, talking about being mindful, following up with what Denise said around being mindful, I think being mindful about what information you're consuming, how often, how much, and really be intentional about that, about when you go to get information, where you're getting that information from, and limit the amount of information that you're getting. I think that's critical. And that's going to be critical, as we open up, and as we, I think even through the end of this year, we're going to still have to be mindful around, our information consumption for sure. There's no question about it.
All right. Yeah, more isn't necessarily better. No. Kelsey, we wish you all the best, and hopefully that high anxiety that you're feeling will diminish over time. Sam in East Hollywood, what's your mental health been like over the course of the pandemic?
Hey, Larry. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, the first few months I was drinking way too much, and that was obviously not good and catching up with me and my energy levels and sugar spikes and stuff. So the positive silver lining of the whole pandemic has been actually the lack of activity. The time has been, you know, completely destroyed as far as how I was using it before. So it's given me a lot of opportunity to actually sit down and see about how I was doing my day-to-day routine and what habits were automatic and what habits were ingrained and not even questioned. So yeah, it's been actually positive the past 6 months. I had a coach helping me out, kind of from the CBT sort of neurological standpoint of addiction and drinking, and it's been amazing. I'm at month four of sobriety, and yeah, I couldn't be happier.
Sam, that's terrific. So I mean, it sounds like you going through that experience of drinking too much had a silver lining because it reached the point where you felt you needed to do something. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, I mean, basically, I was using it as a means of coping with massive anxiety. And just stating the obvious here, if people don't know it, but it turns out it actually exacerbates the hell out of it.
Which is very unfair, isn't it? The thing that you turn to, that it just makes it worse.
Yeah, yeah. In the short term, it maybe feels like it's a numbing agent, but in the long term, yeah, the energy spikes, the sleeping, the sugar, all of that just is going to knock the anxiety into, you know, levels it doesn't need to be at. So I'm just feeling much more, you know, balanced on a daily basis and less of these extremes, basically. So yeah, it's been good.
That's great. So glad to hear. Appreciate it very much. Professor Gallardo, your thoughts about Sam and he was able to use this as sort of a point of leverage to turn things around.
I think that's wonderful. I mean, I appreciate Sam providing that example and for being willing to share that. You know, Sam's not the only person who I think was engaging in maybe some coping strategies and behaviors that may not have been so helpful at the end of the day. In fact, I think when the pandemic was, we were in the middle of it early on, I think the liquor store sales and beverage sales and, you know, were skyrocketing and whatnot. And so I think there's a lot of folks who have been moving through those situations. And, you know, Sam was fortunate to be able to, you know, kind of take a moment, pause and to try to make a different situation, you know, a difficult situation better. I think the pandemic has certainly, I think, allowed a lot of us to sort of stop and reflect and kind of think about like what choices we're making. I always hear people say that they want to go back to sort of what was happening before, get back to normal. And I guess I want to encourage folks to just think about, like, you know, before we do that, think about what do you want to leave behind that you don't want to take with you as we open back up again, as we find ourselves transitioning out of this, because there are some things that we should be leaving behind, actually, that weren't so healthy for us, that weren't good for us. I think the pandemic, you know, it like most things, it had some great challenges, but also there were some silver linings, as you mentioned, through this whole process. So think about what we want to leave behind and not take with us. And I think what Sam said was important. And I think also seek some assistance if you need it. Reach out to someone, whether it's a coach, a mental health therapist, you know, whoever it may be, to get some support, because I think that's really important. We know that in isolation, we get worse. And in connection, we heal. And so I think I would encourage folks to seek out help, reach out to someone, get connected, and that can be really helpful as well.
Pepperdine Professor of Psychology Miguel Gallardo is also in private practice as a psychologist. Denise Williams of WellPlay Social Wellness Center, licensed marriage and family therapist. I have a question I want to ask you, and we're getting a little tight on the clock, but it's such a good one. Dylan in Santa Ana says, if you have an actual anxiety episode, being out in the world after reopening, you know, what is the best way to deal with that in the moment if you find that the reopening has just put you in a circumstance you don't feel you can handle?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I was actually thinking about that. So two things. Also being aware that, you know, I think that there's going to be some triggering episodes, being careful that you walk in some place and somebody might taunt you or say something because you have on your mask and they don't. So being aware of those triggers. But if you are in the moment, if you are in a position to walk away and get in a quieter space, a space where you feel safer, then I encourage you to walk away and get in a quieter space. If you cannot, then you do the same thing. If you can get in a quiet space, if you can't, what you do is you stop and you try to get mindful, and you do that by using all five of your senses. So you want to see something that you can focus on. You want to be able to notice something that you can hear. Notice what you smell, right? Notice what you are touching, like if you're sitting in a seat, like that you're safe and that you're planted, right? And your feet are planted into the ground. Notice something that you can look at, a glass of water on the table, a flower, a picture, right? You just want to get yourself back into your body. Remember I talked about getting back into your body, because what is happening is the old brain's taking over and your nervous system is trying to protect you, right? So it's kind of in this panic, fight or flight. So what you want to do is you need to get back into your body. So you want to use all five of your senses. So you want to notice what you see. You want to notice the taste in your mouth. You want to notice what you're hearing. You want to focus on, you know, the smell. And then you want to focus on your breathing, slowing your breathing. And so one of the things I encourage people to do is a series of breathing where they breathe in for two, hold for three, and blow out for five, right? And then giving yourself an opportunity to calm yourself and calm yourself. And the other really thing that I think is important is if you had anxiety before you went into this and you think that you could possibly be triggered, the professor said something that's really important, is that we heal in community. We heal when we're with our friends. I think it's important to let your friends know that you're nervous about going out or that you're not sure about going out so that they're prepared to also assist you. I always say it's like an EpiPen of mental health, right? Your friends can know so that they can better support you. So if you start to have a panic attack, they will also be able to recognize like, hey, start breathing. Hey, pay attention. Like, look at this. What do you smell? Like, they can help guide you through this so that you don't feel like you're out doing this alone. If you are alone, right, you want to get into your body. If you're with your friends, have those conversations. Don't be afraid to share what's happening with you. I think it's really important that we lean on our, what I like to call your tribe, right, and let them know what's happening.
Boy, terrific advice. Ms. Williams, thank you so much. We appreciate it. Denise Williams, licensed marriage family therapist based at Well Play Social Wellness Center in West Los Angeles. Thank you very much for being with us. We appreciate it. And Professor Miguel Gallardo of Pepperdine, psychologist with us as well. Coming up, we're going to talk about women in craft brewing. We think of it as a male-dominated industry. In recent times, that has been the case, but women have quite an important role in craft home brewing going back in its earlier era. We'll talk about those contributions, and we'll talk about some of the challenges and tremendous successes women are having in the craft brew industry. We'll talk with leaders in the field when we're back in just 90 seconds.